Welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio hockey show. Strictly talking hockey. Glad to have you along here tonight. It's just me, Teebs, as Beans has the night off. Again, big news in Beans' life. We'll bring you up to date as soon as we get him back on the show here. But he's got news to spread, so we'll let him spread that. And on the other hand, good tune here from Death Cab for Cutie. I like their new one. This is a Gold Rush. Album due out on August 17th will feature this. The album Thank You for Today will feature this song, Gold Rush. I gotta say, it's got a bit of an earwig to it. It's kind of stuck in my head. I heard it on the way here, and it's been stuck with me ever since. So, if you like what you hear, Death Cab for Cutie coming out August 17th. Thank You for Today is a new album. There we go. I'm gonna fade that out now. Speaking of fun and speaking of good things, spent the entire day today at day number 4 of the Sammy Joe Small Hockey School, taking place at Gateway Recreation Center in the east end of the city, northeast end of the city anyway. Had a great time out there. Fantastic time. Got to see lots of great people. Janelle Kahanchuk was out there. Obviously seeing her, Olympian in terms of what she's done. Fantastic. Got to see Hallie Krzyzeniuk, who was out there. She was working out there as well. Nice to see her out there in terms of getting everything going. Susie Ewan, who played in the 1990 Women's World Championship, back when Canada wore pink, not white, not red, pink, in that championship. She was there as well, doing her thing. So nice to see her out there. Got to see a lot of good people out there. Billy Bridges, who I got to spend some time with today. Fantastic gentleman that he is. And, of course, Sammy Joe Small out there as well in terms of everything that's going on. Nice to see all of those good people out there in terms of getting things going. And there were more. I will talk a little bit more about that as we go on. But campers looked like they were having a blast today. If you're looking for a great hockey school, this might be the one that you enroll your child in. Simply because not only are you getting world-class instructors, like I just talked about, but you legitimately do everything at this camp. There's the dry land training, which they do in the soccer complex, the indoor soccer complex that's at Gateway. They do a little bit of outdoor work where this morning when I pulled up, getting everything ready for the radio today, for the interview today, they were doing some street hockey, some ball hockey maneuvers and some exercises out in the outdoor rinks. Had the nets out, we're playing around out there. And then, of course, on the inside, they had both rinks going. They had the red rink and the blue rink going today with different stuff going on. Blue rink, where I was set up, had the sledge hockey sleds in there. Billy Bridges brought out a bunch of sleds, got everybody this year. Every single camper had to go through that station and be a sledge hockey player for at least, I believe it's a half hour to 45 minutes. And I could not believe how much fun it looked like they were having out there. So, hey, I gave it a try. Now, again, this is radio, so I don't have any video of me trying it out there. But it's fun. Like, you look at how fast Billy moves, and I mean, don't get me wrong, he's otherworldly. Like, that I mean, he's an Olympian. You know, Paralympian, he's won gold medals, he's played in world championships. The man is the man when it comes to playing sledge hockey. But it's fun. I was out there, I was ripping around, not ripping around, I was, you know, pushing myself around in terms of getting everything going, learning how to stop, learning how to turn, learning how to Got a stick handle a little bit. Can't do that very well. I'm going to be honest with you. Cannot stick handle very well. I look like I do on skates, which is a defenseman. I'm not a stick handler. But got a chance to throw the puck around, play with a little, you know, play with the sticks, get everything going. Maybe took a couple shots on the net. Didn't really worry too much about the shooting. Just trying to get the I don't know if you really want to call it footwork, but the stick work down anyway to be able to propel yourself around. But an outstanding time. I got to say that big shout out to Tatum. Tatum, who gave me a hand getting everything set up on the sled. She was awesome. Tatum was awesome because Tatum legitimately knows how to play. Tatum's been playing for 3 years out at the Iceplex. So if you're going to go see Tatum play, get out to the Iceplex, find out when the ice hockey or the sledge hockey players are playing on the ice and check it out. Because I'm going to tell you right now, next generation of sledge hockey players are going to be very good if Tatum is any sort of indication of how good it is. Tatum was fantastic, though. She was incredible in terms of being on the ice. Had a couple more guys filter on a little bit. Some of the guys from Sledge Hockey Manitoba came out and were playing out there. They looked like they were having fun. But I got to say, an outstanding sport with an outstanding setup. And I don't know why, for whatever reason, they just don't get the funding, they don't get the recognition they should. I mean, maybe this is perfect in terms of talking about women's hockey, but the sledge hockey guys were outstanding, and I got to say, Billy is again otherworldly. He was goofing around today trying to show everybody his accuracy when I was on the ice there, and I mean, he fired a puck into a milk crate that legitimately sent that milk crate bouncing around like it was a rubber ball. Like, he has power behind that shot. He certainly looks like everything that resembles an Olympian. Great attitude, great with the kids out there. And I mean, that's huge to get all these kids exposed to another sport. There's been a lot of talk about how doing one sport sort of, you know, isn't good for kids and, you know, specializing in sports, especially as you go younger. Not, you know, a lot of people saying not a good idea, you know, chances of injury increase as you specialize. Good idea to play a lot of different sports, get exposed to a lot of different things, work all your muscle groups in terms of getting stuff going. Sledge hockey does that. Sledge hockey works the upper body, gives you really good abs workout as well, because you're sitting and constantly trying to move with your hips and your core. I thought it was outstanding. I had a great time out there, and I want to thank Billy for giving me an opportunity to hop in a sled today and test my mettle. I'm no Olympian. I'm never going to be an Olympian. I know that for a fact, but it was fun. 100% fun. And then watching Sammy work with some of the kids and watching some of the other the instructors work with the kids there. Great time had by all. Have to say, one of the best sort of setups that I've seen for hockey camp in a while. And again, just the variety of different things that they're doing is excellent for the kids as well. So if you're looking for a great hockey camp, that's what you want to check out in terms of getting it going. Again, Sammy Joe Small Hockey School. It happens every summer here in Winnipeg, at least anyway. And there's one in Oakville, Ontario as well. If you want some more information about that, go to www.sammyjoesmall.ca/school. SammyJoeSmall.ca/school. Get all your information going there in terms of what's going on. But they're doing an all goalie school in Oakville, Ontario, August 14th to 17th. Again, skaters and goaltenders were welcome at this one here in Winnipeg, but an all goalie school in Oakville coming up in terms of everything that's going on there. So I got to say, right now, it looks like the kids were having a blast out there, just, I mean, the amount of fun they were having. So so Sammy's in town. She's doing that right now and having a good time. And got a chance to sit down with her and talk to her a little bit about all the new stuff going on in her life. And certainly she got a new job, as you may have heard, not playing goalie anymore for the Furies, the Toronto Furies out east. She'll be the GM for that team now, which is kind of exciting. Good for her. But again, some changes, some stuff that's gone on, some things that have changed. So we're going to bring up that interview right now. There were some audio issues in this, so it may sound a little bit off at the beginning, not for a long time, but it may sound a little bit off. I had to cut a few things, but I got most of the interview saved. I worked through some of the audio issues we were having, and now it sounds fantastic. It sounds like me and her just having a chat like we normally do. So I'm going to play that right now for you in terms of everything that's going on. So here is the Sammy Joe Small interview that I conducted earlier today at the Sammy Joe Small Hockey School with the legend, Sammy Joe Small herself. And we'll come back right after this in terms of getting everything going and talk a little bit more hockey just before the end of the show here in terms of getting everything going. There are a couple things I want to point out before we get away from this. But at the same time, like I said, we'll make sure that we get everything in here and everything going for Sammy Joe right away here. And again, check out the website. Get your kid in there if you want to get your son or daughter in there. Mostly, I'm going to say daughter. A lot of women out there in terms of this, but great, great turnout for everybody. A lot of chatter about what was going on. I hope everybody enjoyed the coffee and timbits that UMFM put up for the parents and for some of the kids that were watching today, some of the brothers and sisters that were there. But here is Sammy Joe Small here today, live from Gateway Recreation Center in Winnipeg.
The Hockey Show is proud, honored, privileged, and humbled to welcome back one of my favorite guests. She's won almost everything there is to win in women's hockey. And I'd probably spend a good 15 minutes going over all her accolades if we had the time. What makes her one of the best people in hockey, in my humble view, though, is her contagious positiveness, her selflessness when it comes to putting a smile on someone's face, signing an autograph for a fan, taking a photo with anybody who asks. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a great honor that I welcome back to the Hockey Show one of Manitoba's greatest hockey players of all time in Sammy Joe Small. Commissioner Andrus has decided to step down after 12 years, end of an era in terms of what she's done. Obviously, she played a large role in getting the league to where it is today and doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes work. The one thing I noticed, though, is she never really used to seek any credit or glory for any of the work that she did, which was kind of odd considering, you know, some of the other commissioners and some of the sports leagues are all about themselves. So because of that, and you can probably be the best person to answer this, what's the one thing the public should know about Brenda Andrus that she would never say about herself?
Well, first off, I hired Brenda in 2008. So there was a three-person committee struck from the board at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we went through a long list of candidates, and she emerged really as a leader because of her passion for the game and her willingness to work for basically nothing.
Okay.
So people should realize that we hired her in that first year for, I want to say, about $30,000 to do a full-time job. And she not only did a full-time job 40 hours a week, she probably worked 80 hours a week.
Okay.
So she did that for a long time for very minimal pay and just dealing with all of the, I'll say, crap, for lack of a better word, that comes through. I mean, yeah. Really, there's no, nobody goes to a commissioner to thank them. And that's what's really hard, and what I saw hard for her to go through was that any kind of issue that anybody had with the league, it was always her fault. And it was difficult to see that because I knew on a different level that
yeah.
it wasn't.
Yeah.
That at the end of the day, it's a board that runs the league.
Right.
And she is just operating their mandates, and so she just following through with what they are telling her to do. And essentially, when we hired her, she was an executive director.
Okay.
She changed the name to commissioner, but she had to do all of the roles of executive director. So she was a one-person staff for probably 2 or 3 years initially, but she has now hired a great staff. I think what she's put in place at the league office and the fact that we have offices is pretty impressive. I think she's had to deal with not only things from the public and from players, but from boards
right.
as well.
Yeah.
Any issue that anybody has, they go to Brenda. And I know that job satisfaction has been tough in the last couple of years for her.
Sure.
She has really struggled because she's somebody that has, in her other life, always told people to live out their passions. And, you know, I've always told her that if you're not happy, you don't have to do this. But she really wanted to see the growth of the game, and she really wanted to make a difference for the girls. And I guess I'm extremely proud of her for stepping away at this time and being such a advocate for Jaina coming in.
Yeah.
That's not a easy situation, and that's not easy for her because Jaina is such a dominant name and such a big name in the game that I think people often forget about Brenda's role.
Right.
And we will probably eventually end up as one league and it will be credited to Jaina, which I'm sure she'll do a lot of work moving towards that.
Yep.
However, Brenda has always had that mentality. So I think the players don't necessarily know the amount of work that she's done, but it's kind of like a stay-at-home defenseman. You only notice them when they're doing bad things, you know? So that's what I have to say about her. She's been great for the growth of the game. While she perhaps has maybe rubbed some people the wrong way, she's had to. It's one of those things that it's like, if she's not going to do it, somebody else has to do it. So
right.
it's... Yeah, I'm glad that she's moved on because I just, at the end of the day, want to see her happy as
yeah.
as a human and not have to deal with everybody else's problems all the time.
I mean, she is, I mean, for, like you said, I mean, she was the face of the league in terms of the only person you knew of that was a management style person.
Yeah, exactly. So, or having a salary.
Exactly. And I mean, you sort of look at that and you go, well, like, if she's doing everything, then she kind of takes all the flack for everything as well.
Exactly.
But in her defense, I mean, and I'll say this as well. I mean, I've certainly said, oh, you know, come on, Andrus, you should be doing this or whatever. But in her defense, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, she doesn't get enough thanks for all the stuff that she has done.
Right.
And I think that's a lot of the, I mean, it's nice to see on, you know, social media, everybody's coming out and saying thanks now because of the work she's put in. I know it doesn't make up for the last 12 years of crap she put up with, but at the same time, though, I think that's a huge thing to see just how appreciative both players, teams, management, everybody is of the work that she did. So I'm going to turn it around now, and your former national teammate, Jaina Heffert, is now the new commissioner, the new interim commissioner anyway. Jaina's on-ice exploits certainly have been, you know, certainly in focus for the last few weeks, few months, whatever. She's going to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. She's a legend on the ice. There's absolutely no doubt about that. So same question about Jaina, though. What is one thing the public should know about Jaina Heffert that she'd never say about herself?
Well, once again, you have an incredibly humble person. Jaina never got the accolades as a player that she should have. Yeah. She was never the superstar in this country, and yet she just kind of went about her business and was always clutch in big games when it came to being a player. As a person, she's not that outspoken.
Right.
She's a quieter individual, but she surrounded herself with incredibly smart people.
Okay.
And so it'll be interesting to see what kind of role she takes on. We have our first GM's meeting with her next week. I see her as the face of the organization, but is she going to hire a larger staff maybe at the CWHL to get the day-to-day stuff done? Because she does have 3 kids under 5.
True.
And she also works as a professional speaker. She does a lot of events. So she'll have other things in her life. I'm sure that she won't get stuck in the minutiae of building a schedule and ensuring that there's ice at the rinks, ensuring that there are proper warm-ups, like those kind of things. I'm not sure that she will really get down into that, but we'll see. I mean, she's taken business classes at U of T. She's been around business for a long time, working, dabbling sort of in the industry, but she doesn't really have that much experience at the management level.
Yeah.
So all of this will be new to her, and there's 6 GMs that that we work for the league, essentially. So we work for her. And there's 3 people in the office right now that are going through the whole process of the transition between the 2 commissioners and ensuring that Jaina is brought up to speed and knows where everything is at when it comes to sponsorship, marketing, all the different sort of levels that need to go on to run the league. So there's going to be a lot that she will have to do in the next couple months prior to the league starting. But I think what Jaina brings is that the board has full confidence in her.
Good,
And they'll work hard to ensure her success. So I think there's so many people. That's the one thing about Jaina is she's really, over her lifetime, I don't think made any enemies. Everybody likes Jaina, and everybody wants to see her succeed. So at least starting from that point, I hope in 2 years it isn't everybody's like, oh, why isn't Jaina doing this or why isn't Jaina doing that? I hope people realize after they've seen the work that Brenda has done that there's a lot more than just Jaina at the helm.
No, and I mean, I think that, but again, I think that's sort of the thing. She's become the face, though, right? So she's going to take that, a little bit of that flack. But at the same time, like you said, I mean, everybody sort of likes Jaina. Everybody's sort of, you know, on Jaina's side. The one thing to me that I think more than anything is that every challenge that's been thrown at her, she seems to not only have succeeded, but blown it away. I mean, whether it's hockey, whether it's in life, I mean, she's been going to Queens for business admin as well. Like, she's doing everything she needs to do to get up to speed. So I don't know if this is going to, I mean, again, it's going to be a challenge. I'm not going to say it's not going to be, but I don't know if she's going to struggle as much as she's going to just go in there and just pick up where Brenda left off, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, and the hiccups will start to come when there are player suspensions that need to be handed down.
Yeah.
Those kind of things that are not fun for anybody. When she needs to hire and fire new staff, when she needs to contract a team, or she needs to pick a new team for a new site.
Right.
Those kind of things that always make somebody mad.
You know,
she's never had to make
those,
she's never had to put herself out there like that just yet, and that's hard. I mean, I feel like for myself, already in the GM role, I'm in a position where I've done things that I've never had to do that are hard. And so I'm not the kind of person that likes it when people don't like me. And it's hard. I mean, anybody that works in management knows that that's probably the most difficult part.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
That you just have to be confident in your values and and know who your friends are and I'll stick by that.
So. Okay, that's fair. No, that's all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to shift gears a little bit, get you a Twitter question here.
Okay.
John Grote asks, what's your advice for rec league goalies who want to stay consistent?
So I guess it depends on how often the rec league goalie is playing. If they're playing once a week, it can be tough to stay consistent. However, still in that situation, I think you can still prepare in the same way for the game. So that no matter what, if you're running late from work your tire blows on the way to the game, at least you've had a good meal and you've done sort of the things you need to do before you get there and you're prepared. You've gone through to make sure all your equipment's in your bag, all those kind of things.
Always important,
that are essential. So that you at least have some sort of consistency and normalcy because warm-up is sometimes 2 minutes and people shoot at your head and you never know what's going to happen, but you have sort of the same self-talk that you're going through.
Okay.
Maybe away from your team so they don't think you're crazy. If you're playing a little bit more than that, then I would definitely suggest that the odd time doing a private with a goalie instructor, because I think that that can make a huge difference, especially in an adult who is willing to absorb anything. Getting some help and feedback that way, because often rec goalies don't have the opportunity to see what they're doing. They think they're doing it right.
Right, yeah, yeah.
We all think we're doing it right until somebody else points out something. So that would be a big recommendation of mine.
I was going to say, we already think that most goalies are crazy anyway.
I know, exactly.
Standing in front of pucks all day is not doesn't sound like a lot of fun. But so take a look at the GM role now, because it's a big step jumping from player to GM, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've done a little bit before, dabbled in it, but now it's the job.
Yeah.
It seems that you not only want to sort of wrestle this bull by the horns in terms of using a metaphor here, but you're going to possibly even break it, tame it, maybe domesticate it, make it a house pet. Is that an accurate metaphor for how you're sort of approaching the new challenge of being a GM?
Well, I don't know if that's an accurate metaphor.
No, I mean, in terms of
I mean, I'm going to try to do my best.
Yeah.
I think my mission for the Toronto organization is that we become one of the top women's sports organizations in the world. And so I'm not just looking at other hockey teams to compare myself to. I want to compare ourselves to the way a WNBA team is run, to the way the women's professional tennis is run. I mean, I think that we have so many organizations out there that have done what we're attempting to do, that I want to model myself after what they're doing. So that doesn't just mean on-ice performance to me. I mean, I want to hire the right coaches that are going to want to win. But to me, culture is way more important. So I want to build good people on and off the ice. I want people that are committed to their community and are building the community as well. And I want people that we can support through their entire lives. So whether that means their pursuit of a national team or whether that means their pursuit of a new career or even a new family, I want to be able to support them in every endeavor that they're doing and ensure that they are Toronto Furies for life. I really want to reach back to my alumni because we have some amazing alumni that have gone through our program and link them with our current players so that they see role models, they see mentors, they see people that they can go and have dinner with and hang out with. And they're really the only people that understand their life.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones that have all done it before.
Right.
So those are some big plans that I have moving forward. I think that all of it is achievable, whether it's achievable in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years.
Sure.
But I think already we're starting to change the culture and people are starting to perceive the Toronto team as a place to play, that they want to be there. And that's the biggest thing, is I want people that want to be there. I want people to want to play for Toronto and to clamor to play for our organization. We already have amazing facilities, so I don't have to sort of figure all of that out.
That's okay,
And I've hired amazing people that I think that selfishly are people that I want to be around, that I want to hang out with, that I want to learn from. And I want to help people grow on every level as well as myself. So,
So, I mean, in saying that, and again, because you only mentioned it earlier that, you know, coaching staff kind of didn't play you, are you making changes in terms of coaching
staff?
Yes,
so I've already made all of the changes to our coaching staff. I've hired an entire new coaching staff. And I've hired a strength and conditioning coach. I've hired a head of business development operations. I've been doing a lot of interviews. I've been doing a lot of due diligence. I want to make sure that everybody that was there prior has an opportunity to have their say, and I want to be able to listen to their concerns and their questions. And so, there's been a ton of meetings. I have hired a new coaching staff and a new coach that I think the players will want to play for. The only hiccup that I'm waiting on is that one of my coaching staff is a older gentleman whose technology is maybe not at the highest level, so we're waiting on his contract.
Okay, that's fair.
Should have been announced a couple weeks ago, but my new coach...
Fax machine problems, is that you said?
Yeah, there isn't a fax machine there, so we're working on that. We're working through some of those struggles. I'm in Winnipeg this week, but I was in PEI the week before, and I was in the Ukraine the previous week, so not being there is hard because I can't just drive to get it. But we're working on that. So that's been sort of a slow hiccup. But our coach, she has been reaching out to all of our potential players, and she's already had conversations with all of them, and we've done some excellent recruiting.
Good.
This year's draft is incredibly strong, so it'll be just we need to ensure that we have some veteran leadership there as well. So it'd be figuring out how the team dynamics will work. But I'm really excited about this year. And I really felt like it was time that we had a female at the helm in Toronto, and that we could show the rest of the world that this was something that was plausible. And with it being a real paying job, I felt like it was something that was needed within our game. And we had no females on our staff last year. So we have her supported by three other guys. Yeah. And I think it'll work out really well. And they seem to all bring different leadership qualities to the game. So
it'll
be a lot of fun.
That'll be good then. That's good to hear. Speaking of that, games evolving both men's and women's hockey all the time in terms of what's going on. But it seems there's more and more players now that are becoming GMs. But whether it's men's hockey, whether it's women's hockey. Your commissioner, obviously, evolving as well. You guys have had a female commissioner for the longest time and obviously doing extremely well. She's a former player. But between Meg Ewings, Kristen Hag, Chelsea Purcell, and now you, four of the six teams of the league have former players running the ships for those individual teams. To me, it seems that this push to hire former players in management roles would be the best way to sort of guarantee both long-term success of the teams and the league, because you see it from both sides. Would you agree with that sort of assessment?
I wouldn't say that would be too far off of what the NHL and NBA do too as well. When I think of who the guys are that are coaching or managing those organizations, while they maybe didn't play in the NHL, they probably still played a very high level of hockey.
Sure, yeah.
So I don't think that that's different for us. But you're right. I mean, who cares more than somebody that was just there?
Exactly,
at the end of the day, you don't get paid much money. So you need people that are going to have a passion and an understanding for it fairly quickly, and who are willing to do the role while they still have their other jobs.
Yeah.
And that's hard to find.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing. But I mean, looking at sort of a long-term growth and long-term achievement, I mean, you've got player in the commissioner role, you've got a former players now running the GM. Sounds like you've got some of the coaches, or at least players looking at becoming some of the coaches in terms of doing stuff. And again, I'm not going to put you on the spot here because this is a terrible question to ask you, but Is it time to maybe open up the coaching staffs of men's hockey to women? Because right now there's none. And I mean, there's one, and Barb Underhill is a great coach, don't get me wrong, but she shouldn't be the only one in men's hockey. Is it time to maybe start opening the doors? Kyle Dubas, a young guy in Toronto, has certainly had conversations with, I'm hoping anyway, with both you and Chelsea. Is it time to maybe start, you know, advocating for not only are we good here, but we should be good here as well?
Well, selfishly, no, because I don't want to lose them.
No, exactly.
Yeah, but, that's my worry, is that we create these amazing coaches within our league, pay them $20,000, and then they leave to go coach NCAA or CIS.
Sure, yeah.
And so that's a reality of our situation. And so if there's then male coaching spots available, then we lose even more females to that.
Right, yeah.
However, unselfishly, I don't think the doors are closed. I think that people are having those conversations, and that right now our women are at a point in their coaching careers where they either have great paying jobs in the NCAA or CIS don't want to pursue that, or are in a position where maybe they need a little bit more experience and need to be around the men's game for a little bit longer. They are different games. So if my recommendation to coaches that do want to coach in the NHL as a female coach is to get into the men's game. So coach midget AAA, coach at those levels. Right now I see somebody like Becky Keller who has two sons. She's coached at the Pee-wee and Bantam AAA levels within the men's game. And so somebody like her, super respected within the sport, I would love to have her in women's hockey, of course, but as she only has two boys, that's all she knows. It's like Fiona Smith, who was here last year. The same thing. She coaches her boys at the highest level. And so a lot of women have gone through and done that. Angela James has coached her son in midget AAA. She would be somebody that could probably make the leap into men's hockey quite easily. Just knowing, I think the biggest thing that an assistant coach needs to bring is knowing the players, knowing who's coming through. It's a big scouting role as well. So that's where we have the luxury within the women's game of hiring somebody that has played at the top level, is they have, they know these players coming through. So they don't have, we don't have to then, on top of it, hire somebody, the head of coaching. Scouting. Exactly. So, that's definitely made a big difference. And I don't think that it's it will be unheard of to have a woman coaching a men's organization. I don't think that, I think people are ready for it. It's just a matter of whether those women are looking for that particular position. Corey Chevry, who's in at Ryerson is the assistant coach there, and makes some good money coaching there. So pulling her back into the women's game would be extremely hard because we can't pay those big salaries. So, and she seems to love it there and gets the respect for it. But she had to make the conscious choice to not coach a CWHL team and go into the men's game. Because it is two different streams,
and,
right?
And that's the thing. I mean, two different games. In
it's
terms
not
of the
like
way
they can't
played.
Do it.
No,
most
exactly,
have just chosen to go into this stream. So,
so I'm going to throw another Twitter question at Terry DeLauro. She wants to know, what are you most excited to bring to your team this upcoming season in terms of how things are done on and off the ice?
Well, photography, probably. No, I'm totally
I was going to say, that'll fit
in
well.
Photo Shark, thank you for the question. What am I most excited to bring in? I think culture. I think the idea that I want good people doing good things.
Yeah.
And I want their mission to be that we are creating an amazing organization. And that's just not on the ice, but that's off the ice as well. That's everything from all of the volunteers really having a buy-in to the fact that we are creating something new within the CWHL, and that we have no excuse to not do it. That I think within women's hockey, we start to become a little apprehensive of what we can accomplish with not much money. And we start to complain that we don't have what the men have, or why doesn't this exist? And my new mantra is that everything is possible. We just need the support and the expertise to be able to get it done. So it's finding the right people and finding people that have time. And for me as a GM, utilizing people to their best strengths and not asking something different of them, but asking them what they want. Knowing, listening to people and listening to what role they want to play is a big thing for me, because I want to be able to help and support them to get there. And if we have done everything that we can to help them get there and they haven't achieved that, then they'll know why. And if they have achieved it, then it's going to be a huge benefit for us within the Toronto organization. So
we've seen monster announcements from everybody so far this summer. And I know you've been busy, as you said, you've been in Ukraine. And
we do have monster announcements, but we have had a little bit of technical difficulties.
Okay. I just want to make sure they're on their way.
They're on their way.
We're
so
bated breath over here.
Bated breath. So the only monster one that I was hoping to be able to announce that I won't be able to announce was the signing of Sarah Edney, which I was really hoping that we were going to be able to get her. And she just signed in Buffalo. So I had lots of conversations with her back and forth, and there was she had broken her contract within the CWHL. So she was under the same clause as Jess Jones coming back. And as an organization, we were going to have to pay an extra fee for her to be able to return, which we were more than willing to do. However, she is in looking at pursuing dentistry and doing her MCATs, and she's going through a lot with school. And having the conversations with her, I was very impressed with how she conducted herself through the appeal hearing with the CWHL.
Okay.
We supported her through all of that. And when she was trying to make the decision, she just seemed super stressed. And she seemed super stressed about money. She seemed super stressed about the situation. And because I had to pay a large fee to get her back, I couldn't pay her a fee, much of a salary. So that was the reality of the situation. But I told her the door is always open in Toronto, and yeah, we would love to have you back. My feeling is she signed in Buffalo because she wanted to make a good salary,
yeah,
while still going to school and still pursuing her dreams of becoming a dentist. So she's somebody that, in my mind, is within our organization. Now, we've had those conversations, and supporting her and any player, but supporting her to fulfill her dreams is really important to me. And if that means playing in a different league or doing something different right now, that's okay. We're there for when she's ready.
Sure. No, and I mean, that's entirely it. I mean, she's got, you know, again, dreams of dentistry right now, only because that's going to pay her to
exactly
play hockey. So I have no, yeah, I have no qualms mm-hmm about that. I mean, that's a huge announcement that would have been great.
It would have been great, and it would have been yeah great for our team, but it does open up a little bit of salary cap to
sure
be able
yeah
to, without having to pay that big fee, then to be able to pay some of the other players.
So. One of the questions that we sort of threw around at the time, were there discussions with Shannon Sabatis about coming to Toronto?
No, I never had that conversation with her. I didn't know that it was a possibility that she would end up in the NWHL.
Right.
However, it doesn't surprise me. I think she's at a point in her career where relationships are more important than
yeah
hockey.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Toronto organization is about commitment, too, and we have three practices a week now with
right
two games. So even if I had those conversations, that would have been a very difficult bridge to gap, because I know that she wants to live in Ohio.
Right.
And so that means one day at home and then six
rest
days
on the
in
road
Toronto.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that would have been a difficult situation for her. Obviously I would have loved to have the conversation,
sure,
but,
yeah,
I feel like she probably had this in her head a lot prior. It was probably just a matter of where in the NWHL she could play, because
yeah, I mean,
in the NWHL
closest,
you can
so
just fly to the games.
Yeah.
You don't have to practice. You
right
don't have to. And I know that that's some of the things that the NWHL players have issue with, is they want to get better as players.
Yeah.
And it's that while they're making more money, they're not necessarily getting the practice time in with their entire roster like we would.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would have been a great pickup, but I'm very confident that our number one goalie in the draft is going to be our number one goalie. So
okay,
yeah,
all right then. That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, we were talking about this just before you got on here. Randall Hall asks from Twitter, he wants an explanation of how the CWHL player contract works. Are they guaranteed? How does one become a free agent once drafted? What are the provisions that one would find in an average contract? Without getting into legalese and
yeah,
going
yeah
through
okay
X, Y, and Z
okay
clauses.
Okay, so let's go through all
just,
three of
just,
those questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's
yeah
a multifaceted question that's going to take a while, but what do you know from what you've done now and the reading you've done, what do you know about A, are they guaranteed? B, how do you become a free agent? And what provisions would you find in one?
Okay, so starting with guaranteed, I had to look that up online last night to
okay
find out what that was. So that is unique to the NHL and doesn't exist in the NFL, which I didn't realize.
Right, NFL players can be cut, yeah.
Exactly. So ours are guaranteed for 2 years, but you can be cut. So does that mean that it's not guaranteed?
It sounds like
it's unguaranteed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it so sounds like it wouldn't be guaranteed, because if you're cut, you don't get paid anymore.
Correct.
So, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I only have to pay the player if I take them on my roster.
Okay.
So our contracts will be issued after tryouts.
Okay.
So I don't recruit with the intention of giving a player a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
So in the NWHL, they do. So Sarah Edney would know what she's getting going to Buffalo right away.
Yeah.
Whereas in my conversation with her, I could say, you know, on average, our players made $4,500 last year. I will probably pay my top player, Natalie Spooner, more than that. And then my fourth line player is probably less than that to account for Natalie Spooner
right
being in there. Last year, our team, because we weren't as strong and had pretty even level players, our GM paid us essentially the same across
yeah
the board. It
yeah
was based on attendance more
oh
than anything, which so that made practices well attended. It made everybody
yeah
there, and it made people have a buy-in for the events as well.
Okay.
So I guess the answer is there would be unguaranteed.
So unguaranteed, but
okay
would those be provisions then that are in the contract? Like attendance, would that be a provision in
so
the contract?
So that is, there is a... what would you say? It's a salary that I have to pay a first, a second, and a third-year player. So okay. A first-year player has to make $2,000.
Oh, okay.
A second-year player has to make $2,500, yeah. And a third and above has to make $3,000.
Oh, okay.
So that's base salary, yeah. That it's called.
Yeah.
Beyond that, the GM can decide what to do with the extra amount of money within the pot. So
okay.
When I go down my roster looking to see who potentially would be on the team next year, I'm already at about, we'll say, $56,000,
sure.
Just in base salary.
Yeah.
And so I then can decide what to do with the bonus.
Yeah.
Every team last year set it up in a different way,
right.
And you're allowed to do anything you want with it. I think for myself for this year, I will go into the year paying the players based on their ranking on my team.
Okay.
Based on where we think as a coaching staff they will be at the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's hard because we have to do that at the start of the year. And we don't necessarily have a way of comparing an NCAA draftee
right.
To somebody that's been in the league for 5 years.
Yeah.
But I have to kind of write out what my ideas would be, send that to the league office,
yeah.
Get that approved. But every team kind of did it differently. Some teams paid $50 per event that you went to on top of that with a bonus structure.
Yeah.
Some teams put in a clause of being in the top 10 in scoring,
yeah,
doing
yeah.
Those kind of things.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it just,
so
it depends.
It's almost like standard like player contract stuff,
yeah.
For what's going on. Like everything has a bonus if you wanted to make a bonus.
If you want it to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there is a base salary though, so I can't pay somebody less than $2,000.
Right. Okay, that makes pretty yeah. Easy. And then what about the free agency? How does it work if you're drafted by X team? How do you become a free agent? Can you become a free agent?
Yeah, so you become a free agent after 2 years. You have
okay.
To then renegotiate with your team.
Okay.
So most of my team has signed last year.
Yeah.
And however, somebody like Natalie Spooner... I would think, well, she might have signed at the start of last year based on the fact that we would have got her back later. But I'll have to look into all
sure,
of those
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's
some,
all you, yeah.
But as years progress, you'll have some players in year two of their salary. You'll have some players in year one.
So,
and so my bonus structure can change from year to year.
Yeah.
I just have to have their base would just go up by $500
sure.
Based on if they've been in the league for an extra year.
So if they take the year off for centralization, does that count as a year of the contract then?
It's
the only reason I ask is because they generally don't play unless they come
they
back.
They don't get
for
paid in that year, but
okay.
it counts towards their years in the league.
Okay.
So Natalie Spooner is 3+.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been there more than that.
Well,
but
yeah.
Let's say Renata Fast
right.
Is now into her third season.
Yeah.
As opposed to her second season, even though she didn't play last year.
So, okay, that's
but
one of the things where...
we had her on our roster.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where we're
but
going...
she did not get paid.
Does that even count? Because she wasn't even there? So, like, players that didn't come back to their teams, obviously just took the rest of the season off after the Olympics, they're still considered part of the team
no.
Contract.
So they wouldn't have been on the roster. So if they didn't go back to their team, it's because they weren't on the roster.
So oh, okay.
So they're
technically not signed by anybody then.
They would have been on their 40-man roster.
Okay.
So they can't get signed by anybody else.
Okay, that's
but they
what
wouldn't
I'm,
have been
yeah.
On their 25-man roster.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Where Natalie and Renata were.
Yeah, that yeah. Makes sense then in terms
yeah.
Of what's going on. I know you probably can't answer this, but a Twitter question from Trevor Down was, who are you drafting and or signing this year? And so I'm going to say
good
you're
question,
probably
Trevor. Well,
you're probably going to wait for the announcements, but
I will wait for the announcements, but I do appreciate everybody that makes suggestions to me because that's incredibly helpful.
Yes, yeah.
The fact that I have my new coach and my new staff are very involved within the hockey community, so they know a lot of the players coming through. That's been helpful for me as well. But, yeah, if anybody on Twitter has or any social media has suggestions for me, it's always very helpful. And that way, too, it also sparks some of those players to start thinking about
yeah.
Playing in the league. And I know that we've reached out to a couple players who thought their career was done, but they read on social media that they should play in
oh, yeah,
a certain
yeah,
place.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Yeah. So if you guys, you're like little scouting agents for me, I love it.
It's like 3 million
yeah,
amateur
I think
scouts.
That,
that's all
I
right.
I think that everybody can pretty much guess who I will be picking first overall in the draft. And that's not really a hard discussion to,
no,
to
no,
make.
No, that's okay.
And so that'll be made the day after we announce our coaching staff, which will be hopefully any day now.
So four picks coming up. Four pretty high picks from what we can figure as well. Future looks bright, obviously, in Toronto. I'm
mm-hmm.
Not going to ask you who you're drafting or anything like that or
yeah.
Whatever. But is there are you drafting specifically for talent or specifically for position? What's your sort of strategy going
I'm
into?
I'm drafting specifically for people.
Okay.
I want great people that are also good hockey players.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to build based on my coaching staff and myself, we want to build from the back end out.
Okay.
So we want a really strong defensive core.
Yep.
I think that's the way you win championships, personally. Yep. It's also the way that you start to build a team. And so we will be drafting based on sort of that mentality. There's some incredible talent within the GTA that will be coming through. So it'll be just be a battle with us and Markham as to who gets the players, but there'll be enough to go around. I think we have seven of the top picks next to their four.
Yeah.
Because we garnered all these picks thanks to the Aaron Ambrose trade. But I don't think that will really affect Markham too much in this year because, well, I don't think it necessarily was a fair thing to happen to Markham because they had nothing to do with the Montreal trade,
right,
and they're
exactly,
the only
yeah.
ones affected.
Yeah.
In conversation with Chelsea, while we do get a lot of the top picks, the 7 through 10s are just as strong.
Yeah.
So it's for us just trying to decide who is committed, who can we kind of look at long-term too, and not just for a couple years. I feel like people will not have too much of a difficulty sort of figuring out some of those top picks because, I mean, they're kind of no-brainers.
So they introduced a new sort of setup this year with the pre-draft signing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of your announcements for who your first person is going to be as one of the pre-drafts?
Yeah, so
okay.
I just was asking
because they came out and said, oh, we already got Victoria Bach, and I was going, that's a big get. Like, that's real big, so
yeah.
good for you guys. But
so the tough thing is that she lives... she lives near us,
yeah.
But she, the Markham coach was her childhood coach.
Oh, okay.
So that's a tough, we were really trying hard to get her, and I really liked her. She's a really nice girl, but in her defense, she had sort of agreed to go to Markham well before I came on and well before our coaching staff was announced. So maybe we'll get her back in a couple of years when she becomes a free agent, but she would have been somebody great to play along with Natalie Spooner. So, we will be announcing our first round pick, and then we have two second round picks that we're going to hold off for a little bit to just see who wants to come out in the draft. And somebody like Hallie Krasaniak, I was working on for a long time, and she was hopeful for me that she would come to Toronto, and she wants to pursue her medical career.
Right.
And so we were looking at a job for her in Toronto. However, in the end, I think she just felt more comfortable moving out west where she's already been. And so I think that she'll probably end up there. So
and her sister's out there. And
so somebody like her was somebody that, you know, you hold out that extra spot for and you don't make commitments. But essentially, we can commit to four players to let them know they will be in Toronto playing for Toronto.
Right.
We can only announce three of them publicly and then pick the first one in the third round. But at least they know they can get a job in Toronto.
Yeah.
They can.
Put down roots and
exactly.
Make it
long-term, they can
yeah.
find accommodations and all that kind of stuff. So we can say that to those players. And then the next ones are kind of tough because a player like Ven Lahovey, I've had lots of great conversations with her. I really want her in Toronto. And I think that all the conversations I've had with people here are just so glowing. And she's just such a great person and so committed and amazing hockey player. I can't guarantee that she'll be in Toronto.
Right.
And that's the hard thing is that everybody else gets to recruit, and we're the only two that have a straight draft. So it's one of those things that, if she wants to make that commitment, then she can. But if she ends up going out west, then she knows exactly where she is.
Yeah, exactly.
And, so it's those kind of situations are difficult because she wouldn't be in our top three, but she would be one of those next picks. And who knows, that could also be on Markham's radar too. So
never know what's happening there. Speaking of accommodations, I understand that you have a vacancy now with Megan Bozek moving out to Burlington again.
She's still there.
Is she? Okay.
She's still there. September 1st.
I was going to say, have you filled that vacancy with one of the new picks that are coming in?
We have not. No, although it's funny because it will be interesting having sort of a place to ourselves for a little while.
But
we also have another place in Toronto that we rent out. So we got lots of spaces. Right now they're filled with sledge hockey guys.
Yeah.
I have to always battle with Billy to see who's going to be in our in our places. But
sure, yeah.
It would be an opening for players that are sort of there sometimes. Somebody like Senna Suzuki, if we can get her back. It just depends on her commitment to the national team and the scheduling. And so she has to figure all that out with her current team as well and getting some releases there. And that's not always an easy situation to sort of navigate. but she's one that, you know, when she first gets there, might need a place for a couple weeks. So people like that that have gone through our accommodations, is it's always open.
Gone through Chase, Sammy, and Billy. Yeah, no, that's okay. So I guess the one, you know, one of the big things that happened this summer as well, and I mean, this has nothing to do with you know, how hockey is playing out, but obviously Minnesota joining one of the professional leagues is a monster move for them in terms of what went on. I've had some discussions with Laura Halderson in terms of, you know, how it came down and everything. Were you guys even in the radar in terms of that conversation, or was that just, we're going to make this decision and go with it?
So I can't really talk to what has happened
currently on
the board, only because I don't know.
Right.
So I haven't been privy to board information
for six or seven years. Yeah, we're not asking for
Back in the day, we used to have lots of conversations with, what's the head coach's name there, Winnie Brote's dad?
Jack.
Yeah, Brote. so we had conversations with him when I did sit on the board about exhibition games potentially joining the league. And because our league operates in a different way, a lot more money had to come into the league in order for them to be in the league.
Right.
And so it was sort of navigating through that. I mean, we always knew that if ever there was to be expansion, Minnesota would be the first choice. It would be the easiest choice because there's already great players there. So I'm glad that they have a place to play now.
Yeah, and, that's fantastic.
That it opens it up for so many more players to play. And it looks like they have made a coaching change quickly, that has satisfied, I think, a lot of players who now will want to play there.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I'm going to sort of throw one last Twitter question at you. We're running out a little bit of time here in terms of letting you get away for everything here. But Terry asked one other question. She wanted to know what your pregame meals were when you were playing. What does a pro goaltender?
I always tried to be relatively healthy in my choices, but I tried to not have any superstitions, I want to say. So there's nothing really that I had to eat. I just had to have a relatively nutritious meal, well-balanced. But playing with the national team and playing in the CWHL, you never know what you're going to get. So you really have to be able to be flexible. Oftentimes I would travel with extra fruits and vegetables just to make sure I got some of them. And I wouldn't say for me there was anything in particular. I am the kind of athlete that can eat right up until I play and I'm still okay. Some players need to eat 4 hours before because they get nervous or whatever, but I was never that player. So just good food.
Last question, make this an easy one for you. How's your daughter?
She's doing amazing. Yeah. She's 2.5 now and running around. We had Susie Ewan and Roberta Bartolo and Amanda Klassen from the camp over last night, and she was putting on a show for them. She's we call her our little frat boy because she parties hard and she sleeps hard, so she's a lot
of fun. That's all right then.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, congratulations everyone on the success of the camp. Another fantastic camp for you. And then secondly, obviously, you know, good luck this season. This is going to be a big season for you, and we're hoping you do extremely well. So.
And you've mentioned CWHL a couple times, so does that mean you're a Furies fan now?
You know what?
We'll get you back on board.
I was going to say, I was never not on board.
I know. No, you're not. It's not that you're not on board, but you said Chanel right here.
It's never been a question of not being on board. It's just, I totally appreciate what the teams and the players do. Sometimes I had a problem with what the league was doing, and now that we had the discussion about Brenda, I totally see where it's a thankless job.
And I'm going to call you a Furies fan.
I will commit myself to being a fan because, I've got a pretty good connection there in terms of everything that's going on. So.
Well, for us, the people in the social media world are really what makes it tick, and you guys pick up the slack for what I'm not capable of doing, so thank you.
We are more than happy to do whatever it's necessary to get the word out because, I mean, you guys do outstanding work.
Well, just for everybody in the social media world, I just got the passwords to my social media accounts.
Oh, there you go.
Week, so it has been sort of filled with mothballs for a little while, but the league office has stepped up and put a couple of our announcements out there for us, which has been great. But now that I have the passwords, I'm looking to hire. So
when are we looking at the first announcement then? Next week, next couple weeks?
To be honest, it would have been a couple weeks ago. So we're just really waiting on a contract.
Okay. So that's
really waiting on...
It's just the process of getting to Toronto and driving to a house.
Taking a picture of the contract and sending it. That's, that's we're having having a little bit of difficulty. So, but that's okay. I mean, that's the reality of different age groups within the game.
That's okay.
And the so as soon as that happens, we have four announcements in a row.
Okay, that's
so
awesome. So
four different days of some big announcements. So.
Awesome. Okay. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to keep you too much longer. Congratulations on the job. Congratulations
on
the camp, and good luck in the draft. Good luck in the season. And
again, it'll be a fun year. That's for sure.
Door is always open if you want to come back, Sam.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
You too. And we are.
So that is Sammy Joe Small today with a ton of news. Again, I'm super happy that she was willing to go into a lot of detail with that. The contract stuff blew my mind in terms of how the contracts work. I had no idea that they were that, I'm going to say, structured in terms of just how they plan everything out. But, I mean, again, there's a lot of stuff to go through there. I highly recommend that once the podcast goes up in about, about 45 minutes time on both UMFM.com and on Hockey Blog in Canada, get over there, try and download it, listen to it again. There's a lot of news in there from potential signings to who they're possibly going to draft to where they're going to go in terms of where this team is changing behind the scenes, off the ice. A lot of stuff in there to digest, a lot of stuff to unpackage. Mention of Ven Lahovi if you're a Manitoba Bisons fan. Get yourself ready because this is a big interview, and certainly she went through a ton of stuff there. We got a couple minutes left here, literally a minute left here. Again, if you're going to get into this camp next year, by all means, get yourself set and ready early. Go to sammyjoesmall.ca. I believe sammyjoesmall.ca. Let me just verify that again. /school.html if you wanted the HTML part on there. But Sammy Joe Small Hockey School, get in there. Again, world class. We're talking Olympians. We're talking national team players. We're talking everything. World-class instructors in there as well. There's one coming up in Oakville in August. Let me just grab that info while I'm sitting here. August 14th to 17th. There you go. In Oakville, Ontario, at 16 Mile Complex out in Oakville, Ontario. It's an all-goalie school. Goalies only for that one, so make sure you get in there. But the July 10th to 14th, which was last year's dates. This year was pushed back a couple weeks. And the 22nd to the 26th. It's always in and around the same time in terms of getting everything going. So it's always in July here in Winnipeg. It's always in August. Got pushed back this week because she was in Ukraine earlier this month. But get in, get your young lady, your young man registered. By all means, it is an outstanding camp and certainly one that you're going to see your kids do a ton of things at. Again, they will play sledge hockey as part of the fun there. So you'll get a whole bunch of great instruction there. Your son and daughter, son or daughter, most likely a daughter, will come out of there feeling like she owns the place, because they pretty much give them as much good information as they can, and certainly excellent instruction as well. So Sammy Joe Small Hockey School, we'll see everybody out there next week if that's the case. We'll see everybody out there next year, not next week, next year, because we'll be back there again to do a little bit more chatting with Sammy when she's back in town. If you're looking for something to do this this winter, though, get out to Toronto, support the Furies, see Sammy Joe Small in action as she will be wandering around that arena after signing all these great players that she's bringing in. With that, though, folks, we're going to get out of here again. Here is Death Cab for Cutie, Gold Rush, their new song, which is coming out on the new album Thank You for Today on August 17th. With that, Hockey Show is done for another week here, folks, here on 101.5 UMFM. The ones I wish to follow me. Oh, how I feel like a stranger here, searching for something that's disappeared.